I'm sure you have seen, if you haven't, when you go to supper tonight, you will see the nice Christmas tree we got for the church, just sitting on the landing. That's a wee view of what it looks like just outside. And then inside, there's a few presents below it since that picture was taken. Now, don't you be tempted to open the presents on the way past, all right? So I'm going to talk to you a wee bit about the Christmas tree tonight. I'm sure everybody likes the Christmas tree. I certainly like the Christmas tree up, and I think the house is a wee bit bare and a wee bit dark when it goes down. I never like that time of the year. That's the worst bit of Christmas, the bareness in the house afterwards. You know, some people think putting up the Christmas tree is a pagan thing. Even some Christians will tell you that. That gentleman is the Reverend Alexander Hislop. And he wrote that book called The Two Babylons. And generally it's a very good book. If you want to study a little of some of the origins of Romish or Popish practices, that's as good a book as any for you to read. But he, to some extent, is responsible for the idea and the notion that Christmas is a pagan thing and that the putting up of a Christmas tree stem from pagan origins. Oliver Cromwell, have you ever heard of Oliver Cromwell? Oliver Cromwell was the only commoner ever to rule this country. There was a time between the reign of Charles I and Charles II, the time of the Stuart kings. Oliver Cromwell ruled this country, and he was a godly man. We thank the Lord for him, the blessing and the influence that he bore. But that was the notion that Oliver Cromwell had. No Christmas. You think of how sad that would be. You know what Oliver Cromwell said? No Christmas for you. How sad would you be if your mommy and daddy said that? No Christmas this year. Not putting the tree up. Not putting the lights out. Not wrapping up any presents. That'd be really dull and sad, wouldn't it? Well, remember, that's what he did when he was like king in the country. He outlawed Christmas in the entire country. And look, here's the sort of public notice that went up. That's written in the Old English. Let me read it for you. The observance or observation of Christmas, having been deemed a sacrilege, the exchanging of gifts and greetings, dressing in fine clothing. That's the double F there, is really a double S, but that's the way they wrote it in those days. Dressing in fine clothing, feasting and similar satanical practices are hereby forbidden, with the offender liable to a fine of 5 shillings. Who knows what a shilling is? Do you know, Jack? No. Some of the older people will be able to tell you what a shilling was. What was a shilling? Well, Kenny, shout it out. Money. How much money? What was it? I can't hear you. 500. 5p, that's right. 1 shilling was 5p. So that was 25 pence in the old money. Just to tell you something about Oliver Cromwell, if I can get my picture to go back again. Oh, too many now. Oliver Cromwell, his paintings in the Portrait Gallery, the National Portrait Gallery in London. And whenever his painting was painted, he told the artist to paint him warts and all. He had these big ugly warts growing out of his nose and out of his face. He wanted people to remember him as he really was. And you know, boys and girls, that's the way the Bible writes the story of the great Bible characters, warts and all. There's no cover-up in the Bible. So that's what happened in the days of Oliver Cromwell. Christmas was forbidden. Wouldn't that be really drab and really sad? You know, young people, what happened actually was Martin Luther, he was the man that really introduced the practice of putting up the Christmas tree. Martin Luther was from Germany. He was a converted Roman Catholic. And one winter's night, Martin was coming home. And he was coming home through the forest. And he saw a fir tree with some snow on it. And he thought it looked really lovely. He saw the moon shining down on the snow. You know where the frost would cause the snow to harden on the tree. And when the moon shone on it, he thought it was really, really nice. And he decided the children would love to see that. So Martin Luther cut down the tree and he brought it home with him so that his own children could have the enjoyment from the tree that he had had himself. And what happened was when Martin Luther put it in, he put some candles on it when he brought it into the house. You put nice electric lights on your tree now. But Martin Luther, there was no electric, so it was candles. And that was the practice for many, many years. And look, there's a wee picture of Martin and his family. And they're sitting together on a winter's night, gathered round the Christmas tree. So you remember, the practice of putting up a Christmas tree started with Martin Luther in Germany about 500 years ago, away back in the 1500s. You see, this man, it's a smaller picture, but this is Queen Victoria's husband. Queen Victoria was a very godly lady too. I'd like you to read and know a wee bit about Queen Victoria. She loved the Lord, and she bore good influence for God upon this country. Her husband, Prince Albert, he came from Germany, and he liked to put the Christmas tree up. And he put the Christmas tree up in the palace, in Buckingham Palace and in Windsor Castle as well. There's actually a diary record given of Queen Victoria before she married Albert. And she had Christmas trees up in the palace too. And she gives a little record in her diary of the enjoyment that she had from the Christmas tree. But it was really when Prince Albert came along, it became fashionable. And he popularised it. And then many people all across the country started to put the tree up. But it came because he was a German, from a German background, and the tradition in Germany that Martin Luther had started those many years ago. And you know, boys and girls, there's actually no better emblem of the message of the Bible and no better emblem of the message of the gospel than a tree. And I want you to remember that when you see your Christmas tree and you sit around it on Christmas Day, especially opening up your presents, you remember that a tree sums up the whole message of the Bible. There are two great trees in the Bible. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil that was in the Garden of Eden, in the midst of the garden. And you remember that Adam and Eve were forbidden not to eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. But they disobeyed God and they ate that fruit. Do you know sometimes when you put your Christmas tree up, there's decorations on them, like a very big ball, all different sorts of colour. That's very popular. Do you know where that comes from, boys and girls? It comes from representing the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Originally, they actually put fruit on the tree, maybe some apples and things like that. Sometimes they called it the paradise tree. You see, there is a celebration, a naming festival, that's celebrated on the 24th of December. And it was a naming festival for Adam and Eve. And they put up the paradise tree and they put the fruit upon the paradise tree. But as the years went past, they replaced the fruit with the decorations, the large round decorations to represent the fruit that we are so familiar with. So the first great tree in the Bible was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you know, boys and girls, you know the reason why we're all sinners tonight? And there's no difference, the Bible says, all have sinned. The reason why we're all sinners is because Adam and Eve disobeyed God's commandment. And they plunged the whole of mankind, the whole of the human race, into sin and to misery. But remember, the other great tree of the Bible is the cross. I wonder, did you ever notice when you read the Bible that Peter never referred to this as a cross? Now, the Bible does speak of it as a cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter always referred to the cross as a tree. He bore our sins to his own body on the tree. It was as if it was too painful for Peter to think or to refer to it as a cross. So I want you to remember, boys and girls, the two great trees of the Bible. And the gospel message can be summed up like this. At one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, mankind fell into sin. But at another tree, the cross of Christ, mankind was redeemed from their sin. And redeemed because of the work the Lord Jesus did on the cross when he became a curse and he bore our sin and he suffered there bearing our penalty. So always remember that. When you put the Christmas tree up, keep in mind there's no better emblem of the message of the gospel. The whole message of the Bible can be summed up by thinking about a tree. And I want to tell you just some things quickly. Some ways that we can draw gospel lessons from the Christmas tree. The first thing is, a Christmas tree is cut down, isn't it? It's cut off. It used to be everybody brought a Christmas tree in like this, a real tree. But it can be a wee bit of a bother, you know. What happens is, after a wee bit of time, when they've been cut off, all the pins start to fall out of them. And it becomes really, really messy. And Mum has an awful lot of work to do to clean up all of the mess. So what happened was people got an artificial tree. And it's a wee bit cheaper too, you see, because the one tree does you for many, many years. So that's what happened. That's why the change came about. But the tree, boys and girls, is cut down. It's cut off. You see some of the trees there? There's one tree been cut down in the left corner at the top. And there's a whole pile of them. And you see that very big one? That's a very special tree. That tree is going to the Rockefeller Center in New York City. There's a very special tree cut down for it every year. And it takes place in Philadelphia. And then they put it on the lorry. And it has to be there by a certain time in the month of November. And they put that big tree up in the Rockefeller Center in New York. So if you ever go to New York at Christmas time, you look out for that special Christmas tree. But I want you to think about the tree being cut off, or the tree being cut down, because that reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Not so much of his life, but it reminds us of his death. Here's a verse from the book of Daniel. You see the reference in the bottom corner, Daniel 9, verse 26. We referred to these passages a few weeks ago. We had a special prophetic study here one Sunday night. And this is a great prophetic passage. After 62 weeks, whenever Daniel's talking about weeks, it's not weeks of days that he's thinking about, but weeks of years. He's talking about 70 periods of 7 years in all. But after 62 weeks shall Messiah, you see that word Messiah? We were thinking today about, in the morning meeting, about a lovely name. We thought about the name of Jesus. And I highlighted there are many names in the Bible for the Lord Jesus. And that's another name, Messiah. You see, when we talk about Jesus Christ, well, the name Christ is the same as Messiah. Christ is the anointed. And that's what the word Messiah means as well. The Jews were looking for their Messiah, for their anointed one. And that's who the Lord Jesus was. But it says Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Think of being cut off. That's a reference to the death of the Lord Jesus. You think of it, boys and girls, and older people too. The Lord Jesus died. And he died on the cross. You remember we showed it to you earlier. And you remember how he suffered. The nails in his hands and in his feet. And the spear in his side. And his back was whipped. And the crown of thorns upon his head. And he shed his blood. And he died on the cross. And the reason he died was he was bearing our punishment. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And we ought to die eternally, be lost forever. But remember, he died in our place. Messiah, the Lord Jesus, was cut off. But look, it says not for himself. He didn't die because of his own sins. He had no sins. He was the spotless Lamb of God. So remember, boys and girls, if he didn't die for himself, who did he die for? He died for us, didn't he? Isn't that right? He died in our place. He died to save us and to redeem us. That means to buy us back. He wants to save your soul. And that's why he died on the cross. Now here's a question for you. Let me see if I can get it to come up. Look. What is a deciduous tree? Does anybody know? There's a wee bit of something to challenge you tonight. Do you know? Not a Christmas tree. That's a very good attempt, is it? Good girl. Would you like to shout that out a wee bit louder? The leaves fall off. Well done, Faith. A deciduous tree is a tree where the leaves fall off. There's a lovely autumn scene. All the leaves coming down all around us. And remember, boys and girls, that all the seasons of the year remind us a wee bit of our lives, the life that you live. And here's what the Bible says. Look, we all do fade as a leaf. Whenever you're young, you don't think so much about that. But you know, even though you're young, do you know what's actually happening? You're getting older. You're not getting any younger. There's nobody getting any younger. Even though you're young, we're all getting older. It's just the fact that some's a wee bit older than others. And especially as the years go by, this is what happens. We all do fade. You see, when the autumn time comes and the summers pass and all the leaves fade, well, that happens in life as well. We get a wee bit weak. We're not as strong. And the colour of our hair changes, if you have any hair. You have the colour change. And then the wrinkles appear, and sometimes you get a wee bit frail and a wee bit stooped. That's just what the Bible says. We all do fade. The leaves, they fade, and then they fall. And that's going to happen to us one day as well. We highlighted tonight deaths connected with our congregation. Remember, boys and girls, we're all going to die. We're not going to be here on this earth forever. And that's why we need to ask the Lord Jesus into our heart to be our Saviour. A deciduous tree, the leaves fall off it, but an evergreen tree, oh dear, too far. An evergreen tree, beautiful trees of green all year round. It's not what a Christmas tree normally is. It's normally an evergreen tree. It's a fir tree, and that means it never fades. The leaves never fall off it. And there's some beautiful scenes of evergreen trees. And you know, boys and girls, that teaches us about the Lord Jesus as well, because there's some verses in the Bible, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that lovely truth to know? He never changes. We change all the time. We change our opinions with all sorts of notions. And as years go past, we maybe don't have the same ideas that we did when we were younger. We change all the time. Sometimes we like a thing and other times we don't. And sometimes we love a person and other times we despise them. We change all the time. But he never changes. And you know what that means, especially boys and girls? His love for you never changes. The love that he had when he died on the cross, he has that same love for you tonight, over 2,000 years later. And look, you see the verse in the bottom, an Old Testament text as well from Malachi. I am the Lord, I change not. So when you think of your Christmas tree and the evergreen, you remember that it's teaching us, it's reminding us that the Lord never changes. Just like the evergreen tree is always the same. Do you know there's a wee verse in Psalm 1, his leaf also shall not wither. That's talking about the blessed man. But remember, first and foremost, it's talking about Christ. His leaf shall not wither. He's not like us. Because remember, he's the eternal one. No beginning and no end. Now here's something else. What's this under the tree? Presents. Whose Christmas tree is this? Is it? You'd like it to be, wouldn't you? Look at all the big presents. Lots of presents. Here's another one, may I say? There's another Christmas tree for you. Lots of presents. Lots of gifts. Isn't this a nice time of the year that you give gifts and you receive gifts? Here's something to remember, boys and girls. Do you know what the Lord Jesus taught when he was here on earth? He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. If we're honest, we're more interested in getting than we are in giving. Isn't that right? We always want to get presents. And we don't want anybody to get any more or get anything better or anything bigger than us. But remember, God says there's a greater blessing for the giver than for the receiver. It's more blessed to give. If you want more of God's blessing, then you set out in life to be a giver. more than a receiver. So here's the gifts. And remember, boys and girls, does that remind us of the Lord Jesus? You think of the lovely memory verse. The gift of God. You see the nice bow? It's not the way you tie up your presents. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On Christmas, do you always wait the Christmas morning to open your presents, do you? Do you? That sounds really good. The look on your mummy's face might tell a different story. Very good, Faith. All right. It's nice. Some people do open one or two on Christmas Eve. Do you know, really, I think Christmas Eve is more exciting than Christmas Day. Because on Christmas Eve, there's still the excitement. There's still the anticipation of Christmas Day. By 2 o'clock on Christmas Day in the afternoon, it's really all over, isn't it? It has all died. But it's always nice to open the presents. But here's what I want you to remember, boys and girls. See, when you're tearing the paper off, and you're opening up all the lovely gifts that your mum and dad has bought for you and that Santa Claus has brought for you and all your friends and your family has given to you, I want you to take a wee moment just to think about God's gift. Because remember, that's what all those gifts and presents are speaking about. That's why we give them, because we're remembering the greatest gift of all. And the greatest gift of all was the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life. You think of it. The Lord wants to give you a gift that will last forever. All the gifts that you get this Christmas, it doesn't really matter how well you look after it. It's not going to last forever. Sure it's not. Some of them mightn't even see the month out. But what God wants to give you is eternal. That means there's no end to it. He wants to give you a gift that will last forever. And forever. He wants to give you eternal life. One day your body will die. I emphasized that to you earlier. One day your body will die. But you see, if you have God's salvation, you're going to live forever. Because your soul will go out to heaven. And you'll be with the Lord. And you'll be with him there forevermore. The gift of God. Eternal life. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was born, they put him in the manger? But do you remember the wee word that's used? They wrapped him in swaddling bands. Isn't that interesting that that word's used? He's the greatest gift, and through him eternal life, and he was wrapped. So the first Christmas present that God gave was a wrapped Christmas present. And boys and girls, we would like you to have this gift. Do you know how you receive all the other gifts that you get or given? You just take it, don't you? You reach out and you take it. And that's how you get eternal life. You just reach out by faith. You pray and you call upon the Lord and you put your faith in him and you ask him to come into your heart. And if you do that, you'll experience eternal life. Now, you've been very good. There's just one more lesson about the Christmas tree. Remember, it was cut off. And you don't bring the tree in roots and all. Sure you don't. Some people might have a tree out in the garden that they put the lights on, but we're thinking of the one in the house. It has to be cut off to bring it in. And then we thought about it being an evergreen tree. Never changes. And that's just like the Lord Jesus. He's always the same. And then we thought about all the gifts and the presents and God's gift. But I want you to think of the shape of the Christmas tree. Isn't it like an arrow? And it's pointing upward. It's pointing towards heaven. And that's what I want to do tonight at the end of the meeting. That's the direction I want to point you. You know what happens sometimes, boys and girls? We get far too caught up with this world and this life. And that especially happens at Christmas time. We get far too taken up with this world and with all the gifts and all the mundane things. And what we need sometimes is a wee exhortation, a wee bit of encouragement to look heavenward to the Lord. You think of Noah's Ark. Here's an interesting thing. In Noah's Ark, there was only one window. And the Bible says it was above. There's a window in this church. Above. Right away up there. Maybe you've never noticed it. But it's a wee bit like Noah's Ark. One window. And it was above. And you know what that means, boys and girls? Noah had to keep looking up. The Lord planned the ark like that, deliberately. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. In all the difficulties and the struggles and the problems of life, the Lord doesn't want us to look down and get taken up too much with all the things of this world. He wants us to keep looking up and looking up to heaven, and especially looking for His coming. And I want to encourage you to look up and especially to think about heaven. Look, I want you to think about going to heaven. There's nothing more important, boys and girls. Let me emphasize this. Nothing more important for you than to know that you're going to heaven when your life is over. And remember, there's only one way you can get to heaven. And that's if you know Jesus Christ and if you have experienced His as salvation. So when you're sitting in the room and you're looking at your Christmas tree, remember the shape. It's like the top of an arrow. And it's pointing up to heaven. Reminding us of heaven. And our desire, that's why we have the Sunday school. That's why the teachers spend so much time preparing for Sunday school and taking the classes and so on through the year. Do you know why, boys and girls? It's because they're going to heaven. They're all saved and have the Lord Jesus in their heart. And they want you to go to heaven with them as well. They're pointing you heavenward. And they're telling you how you can get to heaven. And look, look at what it says. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. I am the way. See the wee arrow sort of pointing upward, isn't it? John 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. When you think of going to heaven, that's what God has told us in the Bible, in His Word. That's why God gave us the Bible. Because He gave us directions on how to get to heaven. And we want you all to go to heaven too. And we want to encourage you to obey the instructions that's found in the Bible. And remember, Jesus is the only way. He's not one of many ways. He is the only way. See the word the. I am the way. He doesn't say I am a way, as if there's other ways that you can get. If you don't go by Jesus Christ, if He's not your Savior, if He's not in your heart, if He hasn't forgiven your sins, then you can't get to heaven. There is no other way to go. That's just some lessons, boy. You've been really good and you've listened very, very well. And I appreciate that very much. But remember what I want you to do. Over Christmas time, the Christmas tree I hope will be up for about another fortnight yet anyway. And you remember all of those things when you're sitting round the tree. And maybe mums and dads, when you're sitting together over Christmas, you think about what was said tonight. And try and remember something. There's others. Maybe some other year we'll think of some of the other lessons that we can learn from the Christmas tree. But you think about these that we have considered tonight. We're going to sing seven.